power. Praise his name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. You know, today is Youth Weekend, and on the 5th Saturday and on Sunday, we give the youth the opportunity to serve and to participate in our worship service. And we have this morning to do scripture and prayer is our very own brother, King Darius Freeman. Good morning, Darius, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, take it away.
Okay. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Like she said, my name is Darius Freeman, and I'm here to open up Youth Saturday. Today's word will be coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. I repeat, Romans 12, verses 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself, measuring yourself by faith, by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has special function, so it is the Christ's bodies. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in the honor of each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity once again offer up to you so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted up to you by your people in this service. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius. We appreciate you so much. You have a great day here.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own pastor, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
From the rising of the sun until it goes away, again we love to say we love you. You brought us safe this far. We really gotta say thank you for bringing us all through. I may not have everything I wanna have, and I may not be everything I wanna be.
Amen. That's the way you want to wake up in the morning. You want to wake up giving God some praise. He ain't do none of that stuff that you're going through, but he's going to get you out of all that stuff, get you through all that stuff you're going through. Amen. He is just a great and awesome God, and I love to wake up. Before I ask him for anything, I thank him for everything, because when I was knocked out and didn't even know where I was, I know where he was. He dispatched the angel to watch over the house. They watch over the house. Don't even let nobody put the terror on them if they even come near it. Amen. While he held me in his arms, my wife and I, while we just slept and slumbered until she got in the middle of the bed. Amen. Didn't leave me no room. But anyway, praise God. Ain't that just like God? Ain't that just like God? Just like God. Amen. This bill's way past due. God still came through. I thought I was going to fail that test. I ain't get 100, but I made it pass. Amen. I thought I needed all my friends to define for me who I am, but then I met Jesus, and he told me who I am and who I'm going to be. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You know, our young folks today are facing the exact same things that we're facing, only they're not facing it probably with the faith that we got. They're not facing it with the knowledge of life that we have, the experience, you know, but they're facing it. It's happening to them like it's happening to us. Number one, we need to put forward a face that, amen, and a faith, really, that helps them to, amen, follow behind us. And then we ought to understand that the same things that cause us to fear is trying to cause them to fear. And that's why I thank God for all these young folk he's putting out here with these songs that speak right to what they're going through. Amen. I love this next song. I was chatting, had a chance to chat with her. Her name is Jokia. Amen. And I was checking her out on YouTube before I bought the song because I got to hear every word. amen, and had no idea she was paying attention to people who comment. So I commented on it because I instantly fell in love with it. For me, it was a worship song, one of the songs I can listen to in the morning when I go to meet with the Lord before I meet with him. Amen, get my head straight. And boy, did this song minister to me. So I'm hoping and praying that it ministers to our young people today because God's trying to reach them, y'all. He got us, right? Kind of. Amen. But he's trying to reach them today. Amen. And I love this song, how it talks about what fear wanted to do. You know, false evidence appearing as real, what it wanted to do. But then through all of that, she managed to see Yahweh. That means Lord. That means Adonai. That means Jehovah. That means the one, the Lord, our God, the one who gets to tell us what to do and not the devil. personal thing. And God is trying to bring each and every one of us to that kind of faith that, amen, we hear what the devil say, but what does the Lord have to say? We see the trouble that we're facing, but what has the Lord done for others who belong to him when they saw trouble facing them? Amen. One of the most wonderful gifts that the Lord has given to us is what I preached about last week, the ability to be able to talk to him and to have him speak to us. Most folks don't know it, but prayer is a two-way street. We talk to him and he talks back to us. If I go to my wife and say, can I have some money to go buy a race part? I don't just walk away. I wait for an answer. And she'll take a look at the budget. She'll take a look at the money. And man, if the money is on the comedy tour, it's kind of funny. Well, then she's going to tell me maybe later, not this week. Amen. Not this time. So, but the point is, when we talk to God, he wants to speak to us. He gave us the name, his son, Jesus. In his name, we can ask anything, and we can ask Jesus in his name anything. And he hears us. I love it when Jesus was standing at the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, Father, I'm not praying this prayer for me, but for those who are standing around me. But you know the first thing he said is, I thank you that you always hear me. Amen. So we should desire for the Lord to speak to us. Amen. I'm telling you, say something.
Trade Taylor, you the goat.
Try this show.
Nothing feels better than to know you, and nothing's more important than to show you that nothing comes close to what the vibe is. Nothing's more exciting than the time spent with you. No one but you can love me true. How you love me when you love me, and you tell me everything is gonna be alright. Yeah, and you mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me. I like it when it's just us talking, and you don't hold it against me. That you don't really need me for nothing, but I need you for everything. And when I'm honest with you, telling you my interest, you keep it official every time I kick it with you. It's no games, no games, oh, don't change, don't change, huh? You mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like it's forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I'm talking, wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own youth and graduating senior of E-Course High School is King Malachi Freeman, offering prayer offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive King Malachi Freeman. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go.
Oh, never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists in the sky.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright.
Tell them.
We gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, the same.
Shame, abuse, and people
like that. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn.
I'll be doing an altar call prayer. But thank you, Father God in heaven. We come to you thanking you for this day. Thank you for waking us up and keeping us safe. Thank you for meeting all our needs. Also, thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we know you are not perfect and we need your forgiveness. Please forgive us of every sin we have committed. Father God, we ask for direction in our lives. We ask for a sound mind so we have a clear vision for what you want us to do for you. God, you know your word frontwards and backwards. So you know what you meant in Proverbs 22:6, which says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Thank you, Lord, for telling this to the grown-ups. We pray that they will obey you because they do. If they do this, it will give us a solid foundation. God, you also know that Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Father, we need to hear and learn your word. We thank you for good biblical teachers who preach messages about Christ so that we can be faithful followers. Although we are young, we know that we need to be able to reach others through the message of your word. So please help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, as recorded in Acts 8:31, the Ethiopian asked, how could he understand your word unless someone explained it to him? So he invited Philip to sit with him, and he learned. We see in that story just how important it is for us to listen to our parents. You also need to watch the example they set. So we pray for the adults now, Lord God. Father God, please bless the leaders so that they make the right decisions concerning our education to safely return to school all over the world. Let them be mindful of your warning about mistreating children. You said in Matthew 18:6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in you, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck than to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Lord, we pray that this will not be necessary and that the adults will just do what you tell them to do. Lord, hear our prayers. And Lord, we are above, we know above all you can protect us, whether we are at home, at school, on the school bus, even walking here and there. You are everywhere and we are grateful. Please wrap your arms of love around us. Thank you, Lord. Even though we are you, with you by our side, we can change the world in the way you intended it to be. Lord, we love you. We praise you with all our heart and soul. We lift you up and magnify your name, and our hearts are filled with praise. Lord, in all our ways, we acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, we are so grateful. Amen.
So I'll continue serving you. Yes, I'll continue praising you. Oh, while I wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus, for you to see me through. Oh, hide in your word and know it's true. Oh, Lord, I need you. I'll wait until I hear from you. Somebody may need to wait for God to tell you what to do. Oh, hide in your word and know it's true. Oh, until I hear a word from you. Lord, I know I need you. So I won't move. I won't move. No. Oh, help me to rest in you. I'm gonna be still. I'm gonna be still. Lord, I'll wait until I hear from you. Somebody may need to wait for God to tell you what to do. Oh, calling us to see his face.
Malachi, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. We just want to thank God for our youth. And I like to say congratulations to all the graduating seniors all around the world, class of 2021. We expect greatness wherever you are in this world. Amen. All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning, and I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. After this selection, the next voice you will hear is Janine. Janine, our beautiful spirited Janine, Minister Janine Folks.
My chances anyway, and then my life came crashing down, robo spinning down and down, there's no one to blame but me, yeah, I'm feeling so much hurt and shame, and I'm in excruciating pain, cause I didn't do right by you, I took for granted all you do, and now a shell is all that remains.
I need you, Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Running for Christ Ministries, locally, nationally, and globally. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Overall, Lady Sheila. I again thank you for the opportunity to have this platform to come before you in the congregation this morning. I do not take it lightly. We made it. It's May 29th, 2021, and we made it. We are here, and I bless the Lord for that. So grateful. We have overcome and survived so much, and we shouldn't take that lightly. The fact that we are still standing and that we are able to participate in this fellowship today. Now let us pray before I begin. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the youth who are participating this morning. I thank you for being present in their lives and being a present help in their lives, Lord. And as they move forward into adult life, just asking that you would wrap your arms around them, that you would give them wisdom beyond their years, that you would make their path successful. Lord, bless all of us, all of your children, Lord, your adults, everyone. Lord, bless us and keep us is my prayer, and I pray that you bless this word, Lord, that you would speak to someone's heart, whoever needs to hear this today, that it might give them peace, that it might give them hope, that it might give them wisdom, and that it might even spark their curiosity to seek you more, to seek more information through the word of God, Lord, that it would cause them to open the Bible and research for themselves like the Bereans did, to find your word, to find the direction that they need. Lord, that's what we want to ignite today as we lift you up. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, the scripture I'm going to be reading from today, if you would join me, is from Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 32, verses 7 through 11. I'm going to be reading from the Modern English Version. We'll start with verse 7. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule that are without understanding, that must be restrained with a bit and bridle, or they will not come near you. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but loving kindness will surround the man or woman who trusts the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. And I'm going to repeat verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. And today I want to talk about decisions, decisions. One of my favorite things to do is to browse in bookstores. I love books. I love finding and reading great books. I even like writing them. I have lots of books around me. I love having books around me, even when I don't read them all. I do buy more books than I have the time to read or even the space to keep them. I have them stacked up at this point. But it gives me something to aspire to, and I just find them as a good resource to have in case I need to look up some information or I need something to do. I can always take a book with me or read while I'm waiting. Say that books have spirits. I guess they have the spirit of the writer, nothing creepy, but just the heart of the writer and the words that they have poured into these books, because when you open up a book, it just opens up a whole new realm. And this will last long after the writer is gone, that their words, their heart,
remains and it immortalizes them, because the teaching will continue to resonate in the earth. And it's a piece of them that remains, and it is their legacy, and it continues to speak, of course, long after the writer is gone. So one day I was browsing in the Christian section of Borders, and the title of a book caught my eye. And the title of this book was How to Make the Right Decision Every Time, written by Karen Jensen Salisbury. And I said, What? How to make the right decision at every time? And I said, where has this book been all my life? Because who doesn't want to make the right decision every time? So, of course, I bought the book because I probably haven't made all the greatest decisions, but we want to make good decisions. So I figured if I buy this book and read it, maybe I will make better decisions. So, of course, I get it, because all day long, we're constantly making decisions at every moment. And even for our seniors, like, you have to decide what school to go to. What do you want to major in? What kind of job do you want? What job should I apply for? Even if I apply, which offers should I accept? And what should I change jobs? Should I quit this job? Should I start another job? Should I buy a house or should I rent? And if I buy a house, where am I going to buy a house? Where do I want to live? This is a big commitment, so it's a big decision, and I'm going to have to live with it for a while. Who should I be friends with? Who do I date? Who do I marry? Is it time to marry? Should I wait, or do I need to hurry up? Which car to buy? How much do I want to spend? What is my budget? How much money do I want to save, and how much money should I spend, and what should I even eat for dinner? What should I buy at the grocery store, and what should my budget be? Should I travel? If I travel, where do I want to go? Do I want to fly? Do I want to drive? So we are constantly making decisions, even deciding, do I want to go to the bathroom now or wait till I get there, or no, I should go now. Always making decisions, and the fabric of our life is knitted by our decisions. So naturally, we would want to make the right decisions, because I think we feel like it would lead to a better life. The better decisions we make, the better off we are. So we want to make the right decisions every time. And that almost sounds too good to be true. It almost sounds like if I make all the right decisions, then maybe life will be smooth and perfect. I don't know. Well, it sounds good to me because it sounds too good to be true sometimes, because I know better than anyone how flawed I am. And I know that the grace of God works heavy in my life, because if it were up to me, I would probably mess things up. So is it really possible for me to make the best or the right decision every time? Is this author lying to me? Is this possible? Decisions determine the course of your life, and that's why it's so important. And some of us, there are some decisions that should not be entered into lightly. And there are some decisions that no matter what you decide, you'll be okay, like deciding what to eat. If I eat, like, pizza or a hot dog as the personal choice, not really going to be detrimental to me either way, unless my body has a certain reaction to one of those foods, and that's going to make it a more highly weighted decision depending on how one can affect you as opposed to the other. There are some decisions that require prayer, fasting, deep thought, pondering, introspection. Some decisions require or should have wise counsel, where you might want to bounce ideas off someone else, talk to someone you respect and trust, like your pastor, when you're trying to make a crucial decision where the outcome could be detrimental. And then there are decisions that we have to make at the spur of the moment, where we don't have time to really think about it or go to somebody for counsel. We have to make on-the-spot decisions sometimes. We don't have time to reflect or ponder what to do. But no matter what type of decision, big or small, urgent or safe, we want to make good decisions, because decisions do shape our lives. Every decision has a consequence or a blessing. Now, God wants us to make right decisions. He even makes provision for it to help us out. God has always been a guide for his children. It is who he is. It's a part of his nature to lead and help us to make right decisions in our lives. He has set it up so that we would ask him and then he would guide us, because he always has the best plan in store for us. He wants you to ask for his guidance, and he wants to guide and direct you because he knows the way. Now, we can see this part of his nature in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, where there are countless examples in which God has helped his children make the right decisions and go in the right direction. If you're a Christian, then you are his child, and he wants to lead you. Now, let's look at the Old Testament. Remember when God led his children to the Red Sea? Then when they first pulled up, they were probably like, you got to be kidding me. For real? There's a sea right here. This is not the answer. It defied the law of physics. And I'm sure their initial thought was coming here was not a good decision. But then what? What did God do? He parted the sea. Oh, my gosh. God already knew what he was going to do. His people didn't know. So they just needed the faith to show up. And after leading his children to what they probably thought was a dead end, he opened it up and he parted the Red Sea for them. In other words, he made a way out of no way. And he still does things like that to this day. He led them across safely to the other side, and then he led them through the wilderness to the promised land. He led them in numerous victories in battle over their enemies, even when they were disobedient and rebellious. He was always right there to lead them if they asked for his guidance. This is a demonstration of how God wants to lead us, but hopefully we won't be as disobedient and rebellious. I read in Psalm 23, I read it like every day, and what comes to my mind is, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And a lot of times when I feel unsure, I think about it. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And his name is on the line. So he's going to lead us. We just have to listen. Now, God is a leader, and that's what a shepherd is, a leader. So even when we have tough decisions to make, he will lead us in that too. And that's why we have to go to him, and we want to ask him and go to him in prayer, just like Pastor Overall said earlier, we're talking about prayer. Now, when you're trying to make a decision, you are blinded to what the future looks like. You can't see what will happen because you haven't been this way before. You haven't taken this path. Your future is masked with darkness. You can't see it yet. So it's easy for us to talk stuff about or be critical when we have hindsight. Because when we have hindsight, of course, we have more information than we did in the beginning before we did what we were going to do or what someone did before they did. Hindsight is 20/20, but foresight is a whole different ballgame, and it can be hardball. How do we accurately predict? We don't know. We use the best intel possible to make educated decisions, but we don't know for sure what the exact outcome will be. And this is why we're so reliant on God and our prayers, and rightfully so. We rely on the word of God that reassures us that God will see us through, that he will make the crooked places straight, and that he will be light in the dark. We need that. Our lives depend on it. God will see us through. Now, when trying to make decisions, one of the things we have to do is, there's a scripture in Luke 14:28, and I think this is what Lady Sheila did, which says that we have to count up the cost when we're making a decision. That's one way that we can go about trying to determine, okay, what's the right thing to do? Which way do we go? And in Luke 14:28, it says, you don't begin until you count the cost, and you have to get estimates and make sure you're going to have enough money to do what it is you need to do. Or like in verse 29, it says, or you'll get laughed at for running out of money. So you definitely want to count up the cost to determine, is this a wise decision? I understand walking, stepping out on faith and all of that, but we do still have to use common sense, and we do have to use math and to help as a predictor, unless God tells you otherwise. There are some instances where God may have you do something that it doesn't seem to make much sense, or the numbers don't add up, and so you don't know. But we do have to count up the cost. But when God makes those exceptions, I think he will make it crystal clear to you that this is what you are to do. And if there's any question about it, if you're not confident in what God has instructed you to do, you need to count up the cost and definitely take that in consideration to make good decisions. You can also make up like a pro and a con list, and it is a good practice to look ahead of time what's going to be a good outcome, what are going to be the benefits of doing this, and what the drawbacks are going to be. And then you weigh it out. If you are willing and able to live with the possible drawbacks, then that might be a calculated risk that you're willing to take. Now, surely all of us ought to be seeking God because of his love, his grace, and his preserving power. In the times of these great waters and times of tragedy, we need to be seeking God in our decision-making. Now, let's go back to the scripture, Psalm 32:7. For you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall encompass me about with songs of deliverance. Now, this is David talking. He said, God is my hiding place. He's my preserver from trouble. He encircles me with songs of deliverance. Now, in the next verse, verse 8, which we focused on, we have a whole change of voice. Now, God is now responding to David. Up until now, David had been speaking of God and his relationship to God, but then here, God is responding to David. David writes God's responses to him. Now, this is God speaking to David, and God said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eye. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, God said. I will teach you and instruct you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. Verse 9, be not as a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in a bit and bridle. He comes near you. God is saying, don't be like a stubborn mule where you got to be, you know, got a where he got a bit put in his mouth in order to guide it. Now, a bit is painful when you jerk on it, but the bit is put in the mouth of a mule or a horse in order that it might be led, that you might have control so that it doesn't walk or step all over you. If you put the bit in their mouth, and if they don't listen or respond to the rein upon them, then you pull it, and it jerks their mouth, and it's painful. But you get the message. You are led. Now, God is saying, hey, I don't want to lead you that way. Don't be stubborn like a mule where I have to use harsh methods to lead and guide you. I want to guide you with my eye, okay? That way, we are the ones who make it tough on ourselves when we rebel against God, when we won't listen to God, when we're insensitive to God. Then he has to get tough. God doesn't delight in the painful process. God didn't want to send a whale after Jonah. It was just that was the only way he could get Jonah's attention. God doesn't want to lead you or me in a painful process. He doesn't want to bring painful experiences into our lives in order to get our attention, in order to change our directions. So he's saying, look, be sensitive. I'll guide you in the right way. I'll guide you with my eye. Don't be like a horse or a mule. You've got to put the bit into his mouth in order that I might lead so that I won't step all over you. Many sorrows, and this is verse 10 and 11, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts the Lord, mercy shall encompass about him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. As I said, when you are in your own reading of the Psalms, it might be an interesting experience for you to, as you read, just sort out the following exhortations. When it says, be glad in the Lord, just be glad in the Lord. When it says, rejoice, then you should rejoice. And if it says shout for joy, try it sometimes. Just shout for joy unto the Lord. Decisions, decisions. We all do want to make the right decisions. And life can be filled with woulda, coulda, shoulda. I wish I woulda. Or if I hadn't done this or that, or if I had done this differently or done that differently, did I make the right decision? Was that the right choice? We can go on and on with that within ourselves. And we have to learn to trust his providence and his sovereignty and his ability to reroute us, his ability to block God's supernatural way of superseding our mistakes. We do have free will, but when we pray, God can redirect things to make even our poor choices work out for our good. So don't worry. And this is why the Holy Spirit is so important. We have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Now, earlier, I talked about how God led his people in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, which is our covenant with God through Jesus Christ, God's guidance system for helping us to make right decisions gets even better. He promises to lead and guide us by his Spirit who lives inside of us. And this is coming from John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, which he has, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from God, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And let me share a couple of my own experiences with you. God is so real, I'm telling you, and his guidance and his leadership is so real, and it's so loving, and it works. I remember a few years ago, I think it was maybe 2015, I was working as a chaplain at Children's Hospital. And one of my friends that I went to seminary with for clinical pastoral education, she was also a chaplain. We had gone to school together, and she was working for a company, and she called me to ask me if I needed a job because they were looking for chaplains. Now, at the time, I was working for Children's Hospital, and this was like my dream job. For years, I worked contingent at Children's Hospital. After the experience with my son being in Children's Hospital and how some of the chaplains were such a blessing to me after my son got healed, I wanted to do that work because I couldn't go back to my regular work anymore because it didn't mean to me what it used to mean. I needed to use that experience in my vocation. So Children, you know, they had like a handful of chaplains, and it took years to get a staff position. I worked contingent contract for like almost 10 years. So I waited 10 years to get a staff position. And one of the, she was one of my mentors, and she was a nun, and she was getting ready to retire. So she called me personally and told me that she was getting ready to retire. And she wanted me to be her successor. And she gave me dates. She told me what her plan was. Janine, you've been preparing for this. And we like you. We know you do good work. And I want you to apply for the job. So 10 years of waiting, I finally get my shot. Because when people get these jobs, they don't leave. The turnover is like zero. These openings don't come until somebody retires. Nobody quits these jobs because they're just great jobs. I mean, you make great money, you do what you love, you kind of do your own thing, work at your own pace, you work inside the hospital, you get an office. So I'm thinking this is it. I'm doing this forever. Until I retire, I'm going to stay here at Children's Hospital. I love working with the kids, supporting the parents and things like that. So when this lady called me, offered me, you know, saying, hey, we're looking for a chaplain, I wanted to tell her, honey, no, I'm good. I don't need another job. I'm so happy I waited 10 years for this job. I'm not going anywhere. So it nagged at me. I didn't tell her no. I just said, I need to think about it. That was the decision I didn't want to just make real quickly, even though in my mind I'm thinking, no way. So I'm contemplating about it, like, I don't know. I like this job at Children's. I don't want to go back out in the field because this other job was working out in the field, so which meant I wouldn't have an office anymore, and I would mostly my car would become my office, but even though I loved it. So I went to the water. I love going to the waterfront. Somehow I make good decisions at the water. Like, God really needs me there. So I went to the water. Lord, I don't know why I'm even considering this, why I'm even thinking about taking this offer. Now, one reason that I had for considering it was because the job, the dream job that I had at Children's was like afternoon shift working from 3 to 11. Even though I liked the job, I did not like the hours, and I figured, well, eventually I'll get a day shift, but I'll do afternoons for now. At that time, my children were in high school, which meant they were unattended all day. So that was the drawback of it, and I think that was the real reason I considered the other job, because I would be able to work days. So I struggled and fought with this thing and went to the water, and I just felt led to call my friend back and tell her, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and accept the job. So as crazy as that sounded, it took me a few days, about 2 or 3 days, and I said, okay, Lauren, I'm going to just come for the interview. So I said, well, at least I'll go for the interview. I don't have to take the job. Went for the interview, and they just loved me, and the interview was just short. The lady got up, went to her computer, and she made me an offer, and it was like $10,000 a year more. So now they're offering me more money, a company car option. So now I'm thinking, oh, and it's day shift. Now this might not be a bad idea. So I took another day and called them back and said, okay, I accepted the offer. And I thought, this is crazy. So it gave them 2 weeks. I left my dream job. I decided to leave the dream job and go with this other job. More money. That was an incentive. Day shift, that was an incentive. But my heart was at Children's Hospital. Well, fast forward about 3-4 weeks out, I get a call. The spiritual care department at Children's Hospital was eliminated, wiped out. No more spiritual care, no more chaplains. They said they're going to just use volunteers. So if I had stayed at Children's, I would have been out of a job anyway. They were eliminating the department. Nobody saw it coming. But God knew, right? And he made another way for me. And if I had been too afraid and holding on to what's comfortable, I would have been laid off and out of a job looking for another one. But I didn't even have to go through that because I listened. I was sensitive to it. I looked at the benefits of the change, even though I liked being comfortable. And so we have to pay attention. We don't know what's going on. I didn't see what was going to happen at Children's Hospital. I didn't have the foresight of that. I didn't have the information. All I had was God, and all I had was just listening to him and what he put in my heart and paying attention. So I said all that to say that we have to just listen to God sometimes, like really, really, and that's one of those things, that's a really hard decision to make. And when we're making our decisions, we have to listen for God and just follow him and trust him. Now, another couple of things, and I'm going to not be as long with these stories, but just to give you an idea, God is just so good. Shortly after that transition from that one job to the other, then I up and had an opportunity to move to Texas. Now, that was a decision that a lot of people around me didn't understand. This is crazy. Why are you going to Texas? But for me, I knew I had to do it. And I knew it didn't make sense. I knew it didn't. But I had to do it. It was one of those things. I just knew it. So I did that. And then I guess I know there were things there that I needed to do, experiences I needed to have in Texas. And one night, after a couple years of being there, when my assignment there was running out, it was a Sunday evening. I was resting, like taking a nap, and I heard an audible voice. And I know Pastor Overall was talking about how God talks back to us. And it's funny because in this moment, I wasn't really talking to God. I was trying to sleep. And I swear I heard an audible voice, and it woke me up. And I was looking around, and I swore it had to be a person that said that because it wasn't in my thoughts. So I got up, walked around, and said, who said that? Who said that? And the voice that I heard, it said, they need you. And I'm asking, who needs me? What do you mean? What is this about? And I immediately knew that my time in Texas was up and that it was time to come back to Detroit. And that was yet another decision. And even though I was unsure of what all that meant, I knew for sure that somebody needed me and that I needed to come back. And at that time, I didn't know that I was getting ready to lose my sister-in-law. A lot of things I didn't know. And things started to come together. My family needed me. So needless to say, I came back. And God opened more doors for me when I came right back into a job. I came right back into a house, came right back into new furniture, just went with the flow of it. And it's the acknowledgement. When we acknowledge God in all our ways, just like he tells us to do in Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I am so glad to be back in Detroit. Even at the time when I was in Texas, I started developing roots there, and I knew people, and I was getting going in the insurance industry. I would not have become a licensed insurance agent if I had not gone to Texas and learned so much about so many other things there. And I was like, well, why do I have to come back to Detroit? I'm doing okay here. Do I have to come back? But if I wasn't back, if I wasn't here now, I wouldn't be able to help my cousin launch this new roller rink downtown. He needed me. There were so many people here that needed me, and that had to come first. So I'm just so happy to be here and doing the things that I'm able to do right now. But I don't regret going to Texas. That was a part of the journey, and there were things that I gleaned from there that I still benefit from now. So when the Bible says that all things work together for good, it meant it. It's real. It's real. Now, choosing the path, and sometimes choosing the path is not so much about right and wrong. It's about choosing what works for you. Sometimes it's just a matter of being different. Sometimes it's a matter of a personal choice, which is a freedom that God gives us, which allows us to be creative. For instance, if I decided to wear jeans or slacks today, that's just a personal choice, not necessarily a right or wrong, unless it's somewhere where you can't wear jeans, and that's different. Everybody's path is different, and we want to stay in the will of God. Now, there's the perfect will of God, which is great and perfect. And then there's the permissive will of God, where it's kind of like, well, it wasn't ideal. It's not really what God wanted, but okay, you're not going to suffer too much from it. Now, God's perfect will is best. We could settle for his permissive will. It's not the best, but it's better than being totally out of his will. We never want to find ourselves outside of God's will. We know the safest place to be is in his will. And let me reemphasize Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And we know, again, that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Now, even if we're not happy with our choices, until God changes them or until we can change them, embrace what is and make the best of it. Even if the consequences that are in place can't be changed, we just have to try to accept where we are and just trust God and his providence and his sovereignty and go with it and make the choice to be happy, to make the choice to be joyful, because some things we can't reverse, we can't undo. We have to learn to live with it and then try to make better decisions that will improve our situation. And another example, even like I look at my car, sometimes I wonder maybe I should have bought another car. Maybe I shouldn't have bought that car. Having buyer's remorse. But the decision was made, and it can't be undone, so I have to make the best of it and choose joy. We have to make a conscious choice to be content with our decisions. Even though we could have done things differently, we didn't, and we can't change it. We can't undo it. So what we can do, though, is going forward, make sure that we're making even better decisions and better choices. Even in this pandemic that we're coming out of, we didn't choose this. We didn't choose to have a pandemic. It was not our decision. But what is our decision is whether or not we would make the best of it. What are you going to do with this time, with this situation, with this circumstance you find yourself in? The choices we make determine how we come out of this thing. And there's some scriptures that I want you to be reminded of. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, and that is one of my scriptures that I hold on to. It's on my list of, like, if you had top 10 Bible verses, that's one of them, along with like Philippians 1:6 and Ephesians 3:20. Those, like, I call them power verses, and they should be in your artillery. Like, when you are in a situation, those you can just go to and feel empowered. And I just trust that God will be in my ear. He said, in your ears you shall hear the word behind you saying, here, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. And we have to learn how to hear that in every decision we make. Even when I made that decision to leave Children's Hospital, it didn't really make sense to me, but I had to listen to that voice behind me telling me, this is the way, walk in it, just walk in it. And we have to hear that voice. We have to know what it is and know that voice and follow it. And sometimes it's scary. And just like it had to be scary when they walked up to the Red Sea, like, wait a minute, did we hear correctly? There's no path here. How are we going to get over there? This is crazy. And they're probably looking at Moses, why did you bring us here? What are you doing? And then he parts the sea. So we don't have hindsight. And sometimes we can't even find foresight. But what we do have is faith. We have to trust God. And John 10:27, he tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. So we have to know his voice. And another scripture that I love, Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans for well-being and not for calamity, in order to give you a future and a hope. So even when we mess up, we're not even powerful enough to mess up God's plan. He can redirect, and that's as long as we are in his will and his face and his ear, praying to him. Even when we mess up, he'll probably just shake his head and kind of redirect, just like when we make a wrong turn on the GPS and it reroutes us, and we just have to follow the reroute. Now, we can choose to defy the reroute, ignore the reroute, and end up lost, but if we listen to the reroute, we can get back on track, and that's what God wants to do. He is a good and faithful leader, loving leader, shepherd. So, yeah, we may make a wrong turn here and there, but God is so faithful. He will reroute us because that's just how much he wants us to be successful, like he tells us in Jeremiah 29:11. And in our decisions, just be still and know that he is God. Just listen. And sometimes there are many paths, there are many options, and that makes the decisions a little bit challenging. And sometimes these many options, though, might lead us to the same place. For example, to arrive at 10, we can get to 10 with 1 plus 9, 2 plus 8, 5 plus 5, 3 plus 7. You get what I'm saying. Sometimes there are different ways we can arrive at the desired outcome. But remember to get to God, the choice is super easy because there's only one option. There's one God. We just have to choose him. There is one path. And the most important decision that we will ever make is deciding to follow Jesus. With him, there is only one way. And he tells us that in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's an easy choice. That's one we don't have to ponder or think about or get counseling on. That's one we can make on the spot, and it's the right choice, the only choice. And once we make that choice, it's going to help us with all our other choices, all the other decisions that we have to make. But the key decision is choosing to walk with Jesus. That's the easy one. He is the answer. He has all the answers, and he wants to give them to us because he wants us to win. And may God keep you and bless you in every decision that you make all day. God bless you.
Amen. You know, baby, Holy Ghost just said, wow. My words exactly, wow. I mean, did not my heart just burn while you talked? While you were talking about making these decisions, I remembered all the way back to 75 when the Lord started, when I started hearing that voice. First, I thought I was crazy. I'm like, okay, now I'm in this life I don't like, and now I'm hearing voices, and I'm following what they say, you know. But I'm telling you, sometimes the path is real clear. Go this way, turn right, and then sometimes you find each inch along the way. And he lets you know. Go this far, he lets you know. Go this far, he lets you know. Amen. I'm telling you, I just went back and back and back and saw his guidance. And that voice you're talking about hearing, you know, if you spend enough time with somebody, no matter how they try to disguise their voice or how faint it may even sound, you know that voice. And I love what Jesus said. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Amen. Janine, I'm telling you, thank you. Thank you so much. Here's what I want you to do, though. I've been seeing stuff about a book with a roller skate on it. I've been hearing about stuff downtown. I want you to get that stuff together and then let us know at the end when we come back, amen, what all that's about. Give us some info on this new book and all of that stuff. So hold on, and we're going to bring you back.
Okay.
Amen. And I know you got the same thing where you just said, wow. And I know you're tripping right now. But we're going to listen to this song, and we're going to come back, and then we're going to go at some more. I'm telling you, good stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Amen. I know you're really excited about all that you just heard, and you love hearing that. We can talk to God, and God can talk to us, and we can understand it's Him. Even when we don't hear His voice clearly, we can still go the right way. You know, one time you heard Pastor folks talking about, amen, that sometimes we get to the place of indecision, and there's more ways than one to get to 10. And I used to get to that place a lot, and then the Lord said, hey, pick a way. I'm still going to get you where I'm trying to take you. Amen. If you want that kind of intervening in your life from the God who made you, God, our God and Father, just simply pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord God, creator of all mankind, I'm an admitted sinner in need of salvation. Today I confess my sins and place my faith in Jesus Christ for my salvation. Lord God, I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you just became a brother, a sister in Christ. And we thank God for you and everything that you just heard, the relationship that you've been trying to have. There was a man in Acts chapter 10. He was trying to have a relationship with God. He was even living according to some Jewish teachings and giving a whole lot of alms to help a lot of people. But that wasn't enough. And so God sent a man down there named Peter, and Peter went down there and preached. And when Peter was preaching, the Lord looked at their hearts. Salvation hit them like a ton of bricks, and they were saved. Because all we have to do is believe, and we receive salvation. It's a gift from God. So we want to welcome you to this big, giant family you just became a member of. You got 2.5 billion people on this planet who are praying with and for you. But you need to grow up now and become all you just became, and we want to help you with that. Right here on our church website under Salvation Prayer, you'll find a Bible-based church and what it is. Number one, a Bible-based church proclaims the whole counsel of God as revealed in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. Number two, a Bible-based church has a system to lovingly help members to live a lifestyle that reflects the teachings and values of Jesus Christ. And number three, a Bible-based church applies scripture to every area of life, just like you heard in the sermon. It looks to provide for all the members of the family. Number four, a Bible-based church will encourage the use of and provide opportunities for members to exercise the use of their gift or giftings. Number five, a Bible-based church is passionate about reaching the lost and teaching the word of God to the saved. And number six, a Bible-based church supports the weak, helps the needy, and encourages the downhearted. When you find a church with these Bible-based characteristics, join it and become all that Jesus Christ has called you to be. Hey, man, this is a super exciting day, and this is your sister. Her name is Crystal. She is always super excited, and I'm sure she's got some exciting announcements for you because you're about to be excited, okay? Excited beyond excited. You're going to be like, they excited me. What happened? They excited me. I feel like I've been exfoliated. Exfoliate. Come on, Crystal.
What?
Exfoliate. I don't know. I don't even know the meaning of the word. I think it got something to do. Jesus put a picture of my head, exfoliate, and then he put a picture in my head of a woman wiping something off her face. I'm like, Jesus, what is that? He said, that word, exfoliate.
Yeah.
Really?
Exfoliate. Yeah. I don't know how that has anything to do with being excited.
You're
going to
exfoliate their sin. Amen. Praise God.
Hey,
oh, Jesus says the remover of dirt and grime.
It is.
Y'all be having dirt and grime on y'all face?
Oh, look, that's how we were born and shaped in dirt and grime and iniquity and sin. So, yes, Jesus is
exfoliate
their
sin.
Jesus is the ultimate exfoliator. Lord have mercy. Wow, you want to talk about his blood does the opposite of what everybody else's blood does. His blood is a cleanser. Our blood only leaves marks, and you know you can't get it out your clothes.
Stain
on everything, can't get it out. But only the blood of Jesus will wipe you clean, and that's the total opposite of what blood is. But the blood of Jesus will wipe you clean, and so
hey,
we just heard a huh.
What? Didn't we, though? Is that how you came to that teaching thing? Jesus said, you know what, that gift number four is gift number one.
No.
Is that how you got?
I'm over Jesus. Okay, I'm over Jesus completely, okay? Because Jesus always doing stuff. He always want to do stuff. He, you know, the Lord rested on the seventh day, but I feel like he still be doing stuff. Like, I thought you retired. No, he did not retire. So, yes, gift number four, number one, I don't know what they are anymore. They're all in all types of order. I'm just be trying to go with the flow. And I'm so ridiculous because I am, like, the most consistently inconsistent person that I know, and I do not like that about myself. Oh my God, like Janine, where she said, I more than anybody am aware of how much of, you know, a mess I am, or, you know, the things that are wrong with me. And it's like, you know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, seriously, you know, when we deal with our kids, we tell our kids, you know, I'm only going to tell you one more time. Now, I'm not going to tell you again, because if I have to tell you again, it's going to be the consequence. But God is just so patient with us, and it's like no matter how many doggone times you deal with this, and I'm like, why am I so consistently inconsistent? And it sounds so ridiculous, but it's like who I am. One day, if I just don't feel like being bothered, I'm just not. You know what I'm saying? And I know that's not a good thing, but like Janine, like we heard an ultimate, like that was like platinum, okay, on the sermon level. Like that was another platinum sermon that she brought to us today. And we have amazing preachers and teachers that run for Christ Ministries. And I am not a platinum level teacher or announcementer or anything like that, but it's like to listen to Janine is almost like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I am not platinum when it comes to that. But
that's
I'm just
what
saying,
Jesus
like,
always telling me. You're just as crazy as you are. Y'all both.
Yes, that's why it works so well. I'm telling you. Platinum, but to listen to Janine and, you know, for anybody to be able to get on here and express their you know, their faults or put, like, all y'all, even you, Pastor O, you done told us some stuff that you probably wouldn't tell just a regular person. Even if you were just trying to lead them to Jesus, you might not tell them. You know, so for people, you guys are transparent all the time, and you're never, I don't want to say you're not shy about it, but you guys are obedient. And if the Lord is telling you, look, tell that story. It's a nasty, raggedy, dusty, dirty story, but tell it because that's what people need to hear. You guys are your authentic selves. And so when I listen to Janine preaching, you know, she tells us about, you know, things that she's had to do, decisions that she's had to make. Today's sermon about decisions, are you kidding me? Like, you want to talk about spot on? Like, she spoke to so many things in my life personally that I'm just like, okay, Lord, so I hear what you're telling me. And she's saying, you know, come out of your comfort. We deal with things for a long time because of the comfort level that we have with things, not necessarily because it's good for you, but because it's just something that you're used to. You know, when you're talking about changing jobs and moving states and relocating, you know, that takes a lot of decision-making, and we always second guess ourselves. Well, I know me, I second guess myself all the time because I'm like, Lord, is that you? Is that me? Like she said, she heard of, like, what? It's too much. I need Jesus to come on down and sit at the table with me and tell me in my face, yes, no. But we know that that's not the case. And so we really do have to be in tune with the Lord by reading his word because the Holy Spirit is on his job. And like you just said, just pick something. Just make a choice. I'm still going to get you where I need you to be. Just make a decision. And so that does tend to be the hardest thing when we're trying to make the right decisions. It's kind of easy to do the wrong thing. We rarely think about when we're doing the wrong thing. But it's hard when we're trying to do the right thing and we're trying to make the right decisions. And so we really do need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit so that we can make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. So today, without being said, I am full overflowing because the platinum sermon that we heard today, absolutely amazing, totally downloadable and shareable. Like, this is something that everybody needs to hear. And so I'm just thankful for the word that she brought today.
To give those examples, that's really what did it. Because sometimes we struggle with which way do we go. And yes, you know, and sometimes you hear the word and you can match it with the word, okay? Yes. Those are the easy ones. The Lord will say something and you can find out in the word where that happened. But when he comes to you and say, need you to leave River Rouge living on this side of the street and go to Texas.
Oh, man.
Then you go to Texas and you say,
huge.
Okay, this season over. I need you to go back to River Rouge. And I got
huge.
A house for
yeah.
you on the other side of the street. Do you know she
That's
lived
huge.
Right across the street from where she was living before she left? I'm like,
Lord,
Jesus. She's
mercy.
Like, what?
Only
what
he
did
can
you do
that.
Put somebody out their house so she could go down there and come back and live on the same street right at, see, I'm messed
hey.
Up, Chris. I need to stop.
Hey,
you need to go head
I'm
on
saying.
And handle this thing. Okay, because everybody's excited. I am getting text
yes.
messages. Elder Stevens say, Crystal, decision to stop running. Amen.
Oh,
praise
Jesus.
The Lord.
Oh, oh,
so I'm getting
guess,
text
Lord,
messages on this message already.
I can't wait for my cardinal to come back on and preach. I got a devotional for him already. I can't wait for him to come back. I got that devotional flagged. Like, this is what I'm reading when he come on to preach. And the devotional is entitled, Quit Running. I can't wait to read that for him. Okay. I can't wait.
Girl,
I said, really,
I'm going to mute myself because Janine,
yes.
it's all her fault. Yeah, she got this
oh,
all happened, Jesus, Janine's fault. And kind of like you, Jesus. It's the woman you sent to preach, Jesus. She,
yeah,
uh-oh, baby Holy
I'm
Ghost
even
friend.
Saying that.
Baby Holy Ghost, just friend, tape my mouth. Go ahead and do these elections.
Yes, we're going to have to block Janine because she keeps coming on here and giving us these sermons that are just speaking to everything, everybody, every situation. I mean, it's kind of hard. You got one ball and you make the shot every single time. Like, I am just amazed and blessed and full, and I have some decisions I have to make because, you know, when Pastor spoke, you spoke about fear, and it's just false evidence appearing real. That's exactly what it is, and, you know, we're so in our minds all the time about things, and we do have a hard time making decisions because we don't know if it's us, and we don't know if it's the Lord, and you know, this just, for me, I know what this sermon did for me. And so I'm just grateful to have been a part of it, to have heard it. It's just amazing. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Last Saturday of the month, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, the fifth Saturday of May, May 29th. And so, of course, we welcome everyone here to our Blog Talk Radio Saturday morning worship service. Of course, all of our new and our old listeners, we're so grateful for all who tuned in this morning. The one good thing about Blog Talk Radio is that we're on here live, but we don't know who's going to hear this in the future. We don't know who's going to hear. I'm not talking future like tomorrow. I'm talking future like 100 years from now, where most of us, maybe not even our kids that we have now, will be even on the planet. Like, we don't know what the tribulation period is going to be, but we do know that people are still going to be getting saved. And we know that Pastor O originally created Blog Talk Radio, or it was put in place by Pastor O for those of us that run for Christ Ministries who maybe couldn't come out, who could still be able to partake in, you know, classes and services because of Blog Talk Radio. But we are worldwide. We do not know the volume of people who are hearing these sermons and listening to these classes and services and who are getting saved. I mean, talk about the treasure in heaven that's being earned because the Word of God is going all over the place. And so Blog Talk Radio is amazing. Our preachers and teachers on here are amazing, and I could just go on and on about that. You know, so we want to say, of course, thank you. We can't say thank you enough to the pastor of the hour, Pastor Janine, for bringing us the word today. I mean, she is always ready to bless us with the word from the Lord, and so we thank her so much for her faithfulness and her consistency and her obedience to bring forth the word of God. We pray that all of you were blessed in some way by what you heard today. Lord, have mercy. If you were not touched or blessed by what anything that you heard, you know, to hear the kids on today, I mean, it was really a beautiful thing. So if you weren't blessed by nothing today, we're going to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Run for Christ Ministries, the physical building, which, according to Pastor O, is not going to be empty for that much longer. Those of y'all who got the email, y'all know what the deal is. So Soul Building, we will see you soon. We'll be there. You won't be lonely much longer. But we know that Run for Christ Ministries, the physical building, is still located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple reminders. Our Bible reading class, as we know, was held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Charles Mackey. This week is going to be teaching 1 Chronicles, chapters 20 through 29. Now, as far as we can get into that, we will, but knowing Mackie, he's going to knock it out the park. So just be prepared to do 1 Chronicles, chapters 20 through 29. The questions have been emailed, and they are online for you to access at our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Amen. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio, teaching and preaching in his series Training Day. He used to come on here on like the 4th and 5th Saturdays of the month. He didn't have nearly enough time, so he has his own hour, and he is taking full advantage of it, and we are getting some awesome information, awesome word, awesome teaching. So set yourself a reminder every Tuesday at 4 o'clock to hear Reverend Richard Overall teach in his series Training Day. Amen? Amen. Sunday, tomorrow, May 30th, the last Sunday of the month of May, we will be having our Sunday worship service here on Blog Talk Radio beginning at 9:30 a.m., of course, with our Sunday school. Deacon Charles Tate will be our teacher for 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we will continue on at 10 a.m. With our Sunday service with Pastor O bringing us the word. So please make sure you tune in tomorrow starting at 9:30 a.m. Amen. All right, so the fourth Wednesday of every month from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of Run for Christ Ministries praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, having conversations, giving out Bibles and lunches. So if you're able to make it out, please do. I believe I heard Pastor say, like, setup is at 10:30 and Minister Shelley is on time. So, of course, I read this. I know we just had one this past Wednesday. I read it the entire month because many people, like myself, have a horrible memory. So I repeat it every Saturday just so people can say, oh, okay, especially if they're planning on coming out. So if you're able to, please join us for the fourth Wednesday of every month from now until November. Amen? Amen. So as a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free, you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Blog Talk Radio tab, and you have access to all of the classes and services, over 1,200. You have access to 24/7, 365. You can download them, and you can share them with others. And so please use these with you know, as you're learning and as you're going through this life, whether you're just getting saved or whether you're somebody like me that's been in the church 50, 11 dozen years and still need to learn and be taught. So, you know, use them. They are free. We all love free things. When I ask you for your credit card number, we need to ask you for your email address. All you got to do is go to the church website, rfcm.org, click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, and you will have all 1,200 classes available to you again for free. Amen. Amen. If you want to bless us at Running for Christ with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay tithes, give any additional offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Excuse me. All the information that you need, you will find there. Of course, we want to thank everyone that faithfully gives to Run for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically in the building. Because of your continuous support, you already know our outreach ministries that we support, Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries are the outreach ministries that we support. And we've been able to continuously support them. Amen. So we know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people in different capacities all year long. And so we say thank God for you. We praise God for you. God bless you. For more info on our outreach, please go to, of course, the church website, rfcm.org. Amen. In addition to this, if you want to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the Platinum Star word to us today, which was Minister Janine, Pastor Janine, please send to her Cash App at the $ Janine, J-A-N-I-N-E, Folks, F as in Frank, O-L, K, S as in Sam, or her PayPal, which is www.paypal.me/star, S as in Sam, P as in Tom, A-R, bio, B as in boy, I-O, S as in Sam. Excuse me if you didn't catch it. It's all good because you can go to our church website, rmcm.org. Under tithes and offerings and under that tab, you will see preacher offerings info, and you can see that info listed for her if you would like to bless her with a love offering for today. Amen. All right, so we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from you, can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Amen. So we have been commanded to seek God in all that we do. There, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask your prayers for all those who are sick, shut in, as well as one another. And, of course, don't forget to pray for yourself. Don't forget to pray for all of our children. It's graduation season. It's prom season. We have a lot of kids transitioning into, you know, the next step in life. So please keep them all lifted up in prayer. Of course, our nation, our world, our leaders, the many missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused, as well as all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and their service to the Lord. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Brother Tyrone Hamilton, excuse me, and Pastor John Mack. Amen. Amen. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering that we, as the body of Christ, have a job to do. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which today is your immediate household, Judea, which today is your immediate community, Samaria, which today is outside of your immediate household in your community, but places that you might not normally go all the time, but, you know, that need the word. And, of course, to the ends of the earth. These are places that in today's time you never thought you'd go. I'm not fooling with them. They, whatever, however you choose to categorize it, they need the word of God too. Amen. And it's our job to spread the gospel and the good news of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen. Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. So when you are sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, or read about all over the world on a daily basis, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those that are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. Amen. So one of the ways that God meets our need for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become one not only with him but with every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function well. So to be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also admonishes or urges believers to accept one another. That's Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and bear each other's burdens. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So you see, we are all part of the body of Christ, and we need one another. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16 says, but you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Excuse me. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or things. Those are great. A smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. Okay? So take time out to be a ray of sunshine to someone today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. We always send special love and birthday wishes to our Running for Christ Ministries family. We have two birthdays that I know of this month. Joyana, who celebrated her birthday on the 8th, and Deacon Brother Dr. Rayfield Rogers, who celebrated his birthday on the 19th. So we show them much love and wish them a very happy birthday. Amen? Amen. So Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. So your devotional for today, people-pleasing is idolatry, and this is by Pastor Rick Warren. In life, you have to please only one person, your creator. Only have to please the Lord, the one who made you and has a purpose for your life. That simplifies life enormously. Jesus said, I don't try to please myself, excuse me, but I try to please the one who sent me. And that's John chapter 5, verse 30. He's saying, in effect, I'm living for an audience of one. Did you know that people-pleasing is a form of idolatry? The first commandment in the Ten Commandments says, you shall have no other gods before me. And that's Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Anything that you put before God becomes a god. So anything that you put before a big G god becomes a little G god. So a boat could be a god, little G. A career could be a god, little G god. A girlfriend could be a god, little G. Golf could be a god, okay? Anything that becomes number one in your life that isn't big G god becomes your little G god. The second commandment is you must not make for yourself an idol. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Anything that replaces God in your life is an idol. Success can be an idol. Money can be an idol. Sex can be an idol. A relationship can become an idol. If that relationship is your spouse, boss, or friend, if it's more important than God, big G God, okay, it's an idol. People pleasers allow other people's opinions to take first place in their lives. Those opinions become a god because they matter more than the real God's opinion, the only God's opinion. You don't want to tell people you're a Christian because you think that they might think less of you. You don't want them to know you go to church because they might not like you. At that point, you have another god in your life. You have made an idol of people pleasing. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Almost everyone wants to be liked. It's tempting to want to please other people, but don't do it at the expense of pleasing God. As a servant of Christ, you have an audience of one. You only need to please God. So because this was Youth Saturday, to all of the youth and the young adults all over the world, whether you just graduated from preschool, elementary school on to middle school on to high school, or high school on to college, remember that you are God's creation. You are one of a kind, and there is no one else in this world like you. You are a masterpiece of our Father in heaven. There are many distractions in this world that will try to prevent you from living the life God has called you to live, but remember to never sacrifice what God wants you to do and who God said you are just to be liked or to belong. Do not be a people pleaser. You already belong to the Lord, and you have a place in the body of Christ, and your identity is found in him. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen. Wow, Crystal, I am so informed. And guess what? My ignorance of everything you talked about has been exfoliated. I am now.
Amen.
I knew I'd find a use for it as soon as the Holy Spirit taught me that it was a real word, and I heard it on TV too. But amen. I just thought it had to do with clean skin and makeup. I ain't know.
That's right. Hey.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Love you. Amen. Keep us informed.
Love you too.
And
absolutely.
I can't wait to second Sunday for Elder Steve. I know he can't wait.
I am not fooling with him.
Second Saturday, amen. Be blessed,
amen.
My dear sister.
All right, you too.
Amen. Hey, we're going to bring the preacher back, but I got an announcement. Crystal going to have it after this, but I have to make the first one, and I am so proud as a pastor to make this announcement. It is about the person who pushed me over the line to actually do a Blog Talk Radio show. I had only been scared for a little while, from June to August of 2009. But she told me, hey, what you don't have to worry about them people. They can't see you. You can be in your pajamas. And when I heard that, I got real relaxed and went ahead and scheduled the first Blog Talk Radio show back in August of 2009. Hey, man, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about our own deaconess, Kathy Clyburn. Guess what? She has her own show, amen, that the Lord Jesus has placed on her heart, like all of us, some time ago. But we kind of, amen, it's more than one way to get to 10. She done got to 10, amen. And she, like me, born in September, we kind of scary people, amen. We don't move to stuff real quick, and amen, but God got her, and amen, she couldn't help it. It's been on her heart. And we all know that she's been involved with helping young single women, or even if it's a whole family, with their kids. You know how many kids she brought to Run for Christ Ministries and how many young folks she has tried over the years to help. Well, now that ministry has come full fold, and she has her own show that's going to be coming up, and I'm going to tell you the times and the dates in just a minute. Okay, now since this is Youth Sunday, Youth Weekend, anyway, I think it's an awesome time to announce this. And Crystal, I'm going to get this to you because, amen, Jesus has been to fill me up and bless me to be an announcer, because you know, Crystal, how I mess it up trying to do your job. But anyway, amen, it's Youth Weekend, so we're announcing this. It's called Back to the Family, Focus on the Youth. Okay, what they'll be, it'll be Back to the Family. We'll discuss where it used to be, family. Okay, so there'll be a discussion on where it used to be, because we all say back in the day we had family, we had strong family. It takes a village to raise a family. Some of us came up in that time, came up in that village, and a lot of folks helped to raise us. So they'll take a look at the present family condition versus where we came from and where it should be. They'll explore where the family is headed and how we as a people can unite in order to get the family where it should be today for the future. See, I know that this is from the Lord because the Lord loves family. He instituted it in Genesis. He made a man, got that man under him, okay, and then gave the man a job, a place to live, and gave the man some rules to live by. One, kind of messed that up, though. But anyway, God brought him a woman who was already walking with the Lord, whose hand was in the Lord's hands, and he led her to this prepared man. And these two prepared complete people, they were complete before they came together, they came together and started having children that made family. That was God's deal from the beginning, and so we're just going to go back to the beginning. She's going to go back to the beginning with that. It's going to begin on Father's Day weekend. There'll be 90-minute discussions. The first show will be Saturday, June 19th at 4 p.m., and it's going to be an intro back to the family and what that's all about. And they're returning on Sunday on Father's Day at 4 p.m., and they're going to celebrate fathers and their importance. Amen. So again, Saturday, June 19th at 4 p.m., intro, Back to the Family. And on Sunday, June 20th, 4 p.m., celebrating fathers and their importance to the family dynamic. Amen. So I am proud as a pastor to know that one of the deaconesses at our church, and it won't be on the Running for Christ blog talk radio platform, she has created her own show. Amen. And so God's got some big things planned for her. And I know that listening to Janine really helped out today about hearing God's voice and knowing which decision to make and knowing which way to go. See, because these kinds of things are not written in the Bible. So how do you know God called you to this? You have to hear that voice and know you heard that voice. You can't be thinking you heard it and end up in AI and get all tore up, but you have to know you heard it and take your little 300 men who are unarmed, just got instruments of praise, and just trounce the Midianites. Amen. Amen. So we're praying for her and praying that God bless this ministry back to the family. We pray that you tune in and support. Amen. She needs your support. Running for Christ, us first, right? And then all of the rest of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who you've been listening to every single Saturday and Sunday and Wednesday and even when we had class on Monday. Amen. Support Deaconess Kathy Clyburn in this effort where God has called her to reconstitute the family. He is sending her, as he did Ezekiel, into the valley of dry bones. And, of course, can these bones live? And the Lord has told her, prophesy to these bones. In other words, speak the word of God to them, and they will live. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Don't forget to support, but you'll be hearing more and more about it, amen, as we come up to it. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And now, Minister Janine, before you close out, can you give us a little bit about this stuff I've been seeing with roller skates and people skating? I saw you downtown. The ground was painted. Explain all that.
It's amazing. And before I do, I want to congratulate Kathy on the Back to the Family, and I want to appreciate her. Kathy, for many, many years, would bring children up to skating. Speaking of skating, so we got a chance to know a lot of the children that she helped. So thank you, Kathy, and congratulations. And, yes, Roller Skaters, we've, like, expanded. We've partnered with the Bedrock in Detroit. And when I got back to Michigan, pandemic put a lot on hold. But as soon as they said you can skate, I said, okay, I'm going back skating. And when I first came back, I gained a lot of weight. I said, I think my skating days are over. But I kept going. And so I've been, you know, working with a lot of the children and decided, okay, I'm going to teach these kids. And I didn't really know what was about to happen. I knew he was talking about this partnership for the summer, and I was like, okay, I didn't know it was going to be as big of a deal as it has become. He invited me to a couple of meetings, and I'm like, okay, this could be nice. I saw the vision, kind of went and watched some of the plans get talked about. But anyway, now we have this rollout this week. This week has been a whirlwind with the news, people calling, wanting to interview you and all that, and people from everywhere coming out to skate. So this is our first weekend, and it's a big deal. That is Sheba's Jam. It just so happened that I put that book out a few months ago. That book was completed in 2013, and we are in 2021. And I just kind of set it to the side because I didn't think anybody would be interested in that. It's not so much about roller derby as it is about God and how some things, some of the principles in roller derby. You know, I draw parallels to the Bible in everything I do, no matter what it is. If I'm watching a movie, skating, roller derby, I found God in it, in his principles, and that's what I wrote about in Sheba's Jam. So people might think they're getting a book about roller derby, and they'll mess around and get saved once they read it. And 7-8 years later, I didn't know why I held that off. And sometimes we think we're doing something late, and sometimes God will have things
held off for the right time. And so 8 years later, I finally got it printed during the pandemic. That was one of my pandemic projects. And I did it under the name that Deacon Charles Tate gave me, but he didn't really know he was giving it to me. He kept telling me, get the pen, get the pen. And he was telling me, this should be in the book. You write this in the book. Get the pen, get the pen. So then I named the publishing company. I started Get the Pen. So thank you, Deacon Tate, for that. And I'm sticking with it. I got the logo of it. And so, yeah, between the She Was Jam and the skating rink, the rollout midway, it's going to be an amazing summer. And I'm in awe. I'm like Ephesians 3:20 all day, every day. Ephesians 3:20.
We are citizens of heaven, huh?
Just exceeding abundantly above anything that I could ask or think. I'm in awe.
Ephesians,
like, oh,
not
God.
Philippians. I'm thinking Philippians.
No,
you and
Ephesians.
Ephesians,
yeah, that he would do exceeding abundantly above. I had no idea. I know last week was rough. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm catching it. I'm just struggling. But I press, and then God just, here you go, just pour out a blessing, like talking about overflowing. My cup runneth over.
So how do we keep up? How do we keep up with everything that's going on? Website, address,
okay,
all that.
For the skating part, you can go to, it's pretty easy, rollercadedetroit.com. Just add Detroit on the end, rollercadedetroit.com, and you can /midway. Midway is the tab that's specific to the outdoor rink downtown. And for, like, my stuff, is getthepen.net. Getthepen.net and rollercadedetroit.com.
Hey, man. Y'all hear that? Get with that. Hey, man, get involved. And thank you for sharing this with us. The Lord has been after me to remember to ask you that. And I finally did, and all things work together for the good. And Jesus said, you're just trying to make up an excuse because you forgot. But anyway, God bless you, Janine. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us today and for these works you get. I want everybody to get the book, go roller skating, get outside, have some fun, enjoy your life. Amen. Now give us some closing words and prayer, and we can get out of here.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you and ask that you would seal it, Lord, that you would engrave your word upon our hearts, that you would show us what you want us to see. Lord, ignite what you want to be lit inside of us. Lord, prepare us for this next week. Lord, go before us. Make a way, Lord, in every decision that we need to make, every major decision, serious decision, Lord, be in our ear. We're asking you to be in our ear, telling us this is the way, go in it. This is the way, go in it. That your voice will be made crystal clear to us so that there won't be any doubt, no confusion, because you're not the author of that, Lord, that you would give us a sense of certainty as far as your directions go. Lord, protect us, provide for us, teach us, lead us. Thank you for loving us and show us how to love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and thanks for announcing my sermon for tomorrow. It's entitled Show and Prove, and it's all about showing love to prove that we belong to God and in relationship with him. Thank you, Janine. Appreciate it. And you know, this song that I'm going to close with going to hit real different after the sermon that we heard today. God bless you. God keep you.
I know that it seems sometimes that no matter what you do, or no matter how hard you work, striving to make things better in your life, but for some reason you're not getting nowhere. Well, I want you to turn to the one next to you and tell them, you tried your way, it didn't work, no. You put him second,
yeah,
and put you first.
Oh, yeah.
You trusted friends, thought they had your back.
Oh.
And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
Turn to your neighbor and say, see the devil is alive. No, I'm not gonna die. It's okay to cry, 'cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, 'cause he's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. Hold up. Your job,
hallelujah.
Your bills are due, and all the people you helped did not want to help you. I talked to my mother,
and she said, pray about.
I talked to my pastor,
and she said, pray about.
But
it.
I was so blinded by all my disaster. I wish you would just tell your neighbor, tell them for me. See, the devil is a liar. No, you're not gonna die. It's okay to cry, 'cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, y'all. He's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. I was in my own way, but I'm here to tell you, without his grace I'm a major failure. So if you got problems, know that you can't fix it. Just give it to Jesus. How can I get a witness and tell him, say, if the devil is a liar, you gotta listen to the Spirit. Whoa. Trying to get your attention right now.
I'm trying to tell you something.
I know you got your own plan, but God's got a better one. No. Thank you.